Before we go any further, this podcast is presented by my friends. That's right, my friends at Bill Curry Ford. Right there on Dale Mabry. It's a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side. It's a real family business, Mr. DeKemper. Tampa's first family of Ford for the past 60 years. That's before Bette Midler released her first album. Right now, you can get 0% financing. I got to say that again, Lee. 0% financing plus tremendous incentive offers at Bill Curry Ford on the 2019 Ford F-150, a vehicle that you are very familiar with, the 150 XL and the 2019 Ford Escape models, in addition to plenty of others. I drive a beautiful 2020 Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford. It's a tremendous vehicle. It's a great ride, and you can get the best deals in town right here at Bill Curry Ford. Start shopping. BillCurryFord.com.
Our thanks, as always, to Bill Curry Ford for their presenting sponsorship of Iris Podcast. And the Ira Kaufman Podcast is available on iTunes, which is now Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, various other platforms. We appreciate the tremendous numbers for every episode. So thankful, so grateful. And leave a review where you can. We'll definitely look at it. Ira scrutinizes those things, has a lot of fun with them. We always like to remind you of Pin Chasers, 3 Tampa area locations. The best place in town to go bowling and to just have fun every day of the week. Daily specials, go to pinchasers.net to see them all. The Pizza Bowl is every Tuesday starting at 9 p.m. Unlimited pizza and bowling for just $10.99. That's all you can eat pizza, all you can bowl. Great fun. Shoes are always free. Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock. Available at all the locations. Go to pinchasers.net and you can reserve a lane at Pin Chasers, book a party, and see all the daily specials. We love it there. Thank you to Pin Chasers.
Buck fans, Buck Nation, this goes out to all of you. Save the date. Our huge annual NFL draft party will be at a new location. Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater Tap Room, 12707 49th Street North, Thursday, April 23rd. I've already been there. It's a tremendous place, and it's going to be fantastic. Keep an eye on joebucksfan.com for details later this month. But we've already got the date. It's going to be Thursday, April 23rd. That's the first round of the NFL draft, and it's going to be a heck of a night. The food at Big Storm, first rate. And, of course, it's all about Florida's best craft beer. Big Storm, brewed right there in Clearwater. Lee, try the Bromosa. Not the Mimosa, the Bromosa. A fantastic tangerine IPA. And see all the great beers at BigStormBrewery.com. Use their storm tracker. Yeah, they've got a storm tracker to find Big Storm near you. You can even head to their second location. It's Pasco Tap Room. It's in Odessa, 2320 Success Drive. But the party is going to be in the Clearwater 49th Street location. I'll see you guys soon at Big Storm. Be there.
Ira is fired up for that draft party. It's early, but we are counting down the days. So much planning has gone into this. It's going to be so much fun. A lot of details coming up. We're going to have a huge announcement right after the Super Bowl. In the meantime, enjoy a Wavemaker Amber Ale from Big Storm. It's the classic, their original, the Wavemaker. Cannot go wrong there. And speaking of Super Bowl, the boys are in full Super Bowl mode. Ira and Lee are out there this week, and they've got plenty to say. Here's Ira.
All right, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good midnight, good late night, good wherever you're listening to this. Welcome once again to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, the Prince of Pasco County, the Custodian of Canton, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the one and only Ira Kaufman. Now, Ira, it's a good thing I didn't say anything that about the silence of the sage. I was listening to a podcast coming down here. The Silence of the Sage. Have you ever heard of that essay?
You're hitting me with something I never even heard of.
No?
No.
You've heard of H.L. Mencken, I'm confident.
I believe I have heard of H.L. Mencken.
Okay, a guy by the name of Jack Gilden, who wrote a book that Russo had him on his show, about how Unitas and Don Shula hated each other. He wrote an essay one time about H.L. Mencken, and for those who don't know, that was the Baron of Northwestern, the Medill School of Journalism, Chicago Tribune, a hallmark journalist. Well, apparently he was very much an anti-Semite, and he tried to silence the silence of the sage.
Well, I thought I was the original sage, and now you're telling me about some some kind of sage from 40 years ago. I'm a good sage.
That's right.
And this sage is thinking all about Super Bowl week, because here you are in Miami already, and I'm on my way down there at the end of the week, and I'm a man on a mission. You think the Chiefs and the 49ers are on a mission? Forget about the Vince Lombardi trophy. That means nothing. That means nothing, even to this 55-year Chiefs fan. That's what I'm saying. It's all about John Lynch and a gold jacket. Never mind the Vince Lombardi trophy. It's a piece of silver. Nobody cares about it.
Oh.
It's all about the gold jacket for Johnny Lynch. And I'm a man on a mission. You've seen me with this look on my mug before. The last time you saw me with this kind of look, I was trying to get Bruce Arians to say whether he was going to ditch the golf cart and walk the field on his own. It's all about Johnny Lee Lynch, and that's what I care about.
I haven't seen this determined look on your face since the Glazer family wouldn't talk at one of their press conferences.
Since I was determined to get a rise out of Dirk Cutter walking across the field at Ray J a few weeks ago.
You're locked in, man.
I'm locked in, Lee. You know, look, 7 years of frustration. It's boiling over. That reminds me, Buck fans have 12 years of frustration, and that's boiling over.
It is. You're right. It is.
But this is 7 years. You know, he's waited the longest in that room. And I'm tired of people saying what John Lynch can't do and what he didn't do. And he wasn't a free safety like Ed Reed. And he didn't have the freedom of Troy Polamalu, who's a statistical marvel. Lee, you judge a man by the impact he makes in the job that he's asked to do.
Thank you.
And John Lynch did a heck of a job. On a defense, I'll give you just a little taste, Lee. I like to give you a little taste. Yeah. You know, here's a little something that might go in the room. And, statistics, damn statistics and lies or whatever.
Oh, well, I always thought it was statistics, damn statistics in USA Today.
Well, here's a stat for you. Starting in 1997, Lee, remember what you were doing in 1997? You might have been stringing for the Tribune. Who knows? And waiting for that next check because they were always 3 months behind. John Lynch's first full year as a starter, 97, Dungy's second year in Tampa. Lee, from 1997 to 2006, which is the next to last year that Lynch wrapped it up in Denver. That's 10 years, Lee. That's an eternity.
Mm-hmm.
10 years. John Lynch was a central figure on a top 10 scoring defense every year for a decade. Two different schemes. Two different teams, 10 straight years, 2 rings of honor. I mean, what more has the guy got to do, Lee? And now, here he is, getting his team ready for the big game. That can't hurt either, Lee.
No, I was going to ask you that. How much that he's going to be glad-handing? No, I don't know if that's the right term.
Well, his name's going to be out there all week long.
Yeah, he's going to be visible with the people who count, the people who vote. You know, people think of visibility, it doesn't factor in. I'm a firm believer it does. To some degree.
Lee, look at it this way. John Madden, as a coach, but he only won one Super Bowl. And
of course, look who he had to beat to get there.
And he had the Pittsburgh dynasty. And the Dolphins. But don't think for a minute that Madden's tremendous work in the broadcast booth didn't help him land a gold jacket. Now, nobody's going to say that in the discussion room because it's supposed to be only what you do as a coach. Only what you do as a player, and John Lynch's acumen as a GM, theoretically, doesn't count. Irrelevant. But Lee, how can you not say it's a great example of his football savvy? And I already got somebody in the room that's going to talk about that from a San Francisco standpoint after I make my presentation. Now, Lee, don't think for a second that I'm going to be up there talking for 22 minutes. That ain't going to happen.
Is that a limit, 22 minutes?
No. No, they don't put a limit on it.
Oh, really? So you could
go
filibuster
all day? but past a certain time, it's diminishing returns.
Sure.
You know that.
People tune you out, yeah.
You know, that's one of the first rules I ever learned in making speeches. So
same with me.
Rotary clubs and stuff like that. You got to figure out what your sweet spot is. My sweet spot's about 30 seconds. No, I'm kidding. My sweet spot's about 6 or 7 minutes. That's 6 or 7 minutes. And if you go longer than that, you're going to lose some people. If you go shorter than that, you're not doing right by John Lynch.
I sure hope people caught that.
Never mind, Matt DeKemper. I know where your mind
is. You slipped that one right in.
Never mind,
Matt. Almost went past me.
Now, first of all, I'm a little bit jealous of you being in Miami all week long, and here I come in on Friday. You're also a man on a mission because you got certain...
you got certain subjects that you want to cover out.
Yeah, I'll be there.
You've been very successful in past Super Bowls in getting Buck-related subjects talked about by some critical people.
Yeah, very much so. You know, like Darby, I asked him about Jameis. That was breaking news. I would love to get Quan, and I'm talking about media night, where all these guys are available. If Quan's at the podium, I have no shot. If he's mingling about with the rest of the press, that circus that
I want you to belly yourself up to that podium over there, Lee. You got a way of wedging yourself in there.
I got a good story about that. But anyway, if Quan is mingling, I hope to get him aside.
Don't they put him in the stand sitting down?
No, they walk around.
Oh, they walk around?
Yeah. It's at Marlins Park. Media night's at Marlins Park. And they're not in the stands. That's like 30 years ago.
You know what you do? You get that reporter from TV Azteca to walk right past Alexander, pay her, and you know that'll stop him in his tracks, and then you zoom right in.
Oh, sure. And she probably doesn't even know what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is or are.
What's her name? Do you remember her name?
Inez Sanz. You know better than I.
There you go.
You dirty old man.
And she's there every year, right? Every year.
She's toned down her dress because I think the NFL told her to tone down the dress.
Oh.
She used to get... Risque.
Why don't you show Quan some leg over there at the Kemper? You might stop him in his tracks, too.
Well, what I hope to get from Quan is what I would like. I like to ask him a bunch of questions. But I know he's only going to give me a certain amount of time. He's probably, you talked about tuning out. If I start asking him Bucks questions, he's probably going to tune me out.
But you're going to ask him about number three without question.
I don't know. What I want to find out is this: the Bucks question, I will, because these guys, they don't want to talk about their past. They want to talk about the now, especially during the Super Bowl. That's what they want to talk about. So I'll butter them up with a couple of Super Bowl questions, but I will ask him, Quan, what's the difference between the Bucs organization and the 49ers? Why could the Bucs not, all this talent they allegedly have, we've been told time and time again by untold number of coaches, but they can't win, but yet you go to the 49ers and they Super Bowl. What's the difference?
It's an eminently fair question.
That's what I'm going to ask him now. Drew Brees at the Pro Bowl in Orlando. Kevin O'Donnell asked Drew Brees about Jameis. Now he got a canned answer. But Brees said, I talked to Jameis.
Wow.
But he didn't detail what the phone call was about.
Did Brees give any inclination about whether he's coming back or a 20?
He doesn't know.
When's he going to decide? He didn't say anything.
Oh, when someone cuts him a check, probably.
I mean, that's got a direct impact on the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Oh, sure. But... that's not as important as what's going on with Jameis. He says he talked to Jameis. Whoa. Yeah, but he didn't detail that conversation at all. But anyway, with Quan, I would like, him and Jameis are tight. I would like to ask him, what's going on with Jameis? And I would hope he'd say, yeah, I talked to Jameis, like Brees did. I know these guys, as soon as you start trying to get, they're there for the Super Bowl. You start to ask them many questions about non-Super Bowl stuff, they'll tune you out immediately, if not shut you down. I've been shut down countless times. You ask them a question, like, no comment, because nothing to do with the Super Bowl. But also, what I would love to ask Quan, I want to ask him about that slob Swaggy Baker.
You mean the guy that leaned up against the tree in Hard Knocks? That one?
He did more than lean up against the tree. He fornicated with a tree.
And the guy that was jubilant when the Buck kickers were missing field goals?
Yeah, now that I didn't have a bother, but that did not bother me one bit. I thought, dude, keep doing that, you know? And like he explained later in a podcast, he said, hey, if the kicker can't handle me in practice hounding him, how should we expect him to handle a game situation? I agree with that.
The guy who was offside against Carolina and cost the Bucks a game.
I can't stand Baker. Trust me, I don't like him at all. But I had no issue with him going after Aguayo in practice. But anyway, I'm convinced that the Bucks bringing in those Redskins destroyed that locker room, destroyed the team, and destroyed Dirk Cutter's job as a coach. And I want to ask directly. I want to ask Quan: did Swaggy Baker? Did those guys kill the momentum? Because they brought those guys in. They're coming off 9-7 season. Sadly, only the second winning season since Chucky has been fired. Everything was looking great.
They look like the Sheik picked the breakthrough, right? In the national media. They were little darlings.
Yeah.
Just like the Browns
were.
Oh,
Sheik. I thought you were talking like the Sheik. No. Like the wrestling.
C-H-I-C.
Yeah, not S-H-I-E-K. That's why. See, that's my mentality. You say the Sheik.
Well, you stop with the wrestling. So you
want, like, what's the Sheik got to do with Swaggy Baker?
You want to know where the Baker polluted the locker room.
Perfect verb. Polluted. And that skunk, Deshaun Jackson. And boy, am I holding a bombshell on that guy.
You know,
one of these days.
That doesn't speak well for the Bucks doing their research on these guys. You know, because Jason Light always tells us that when guys don't make it, it's usually from the head up.
Mm-hmm.
They have talent.
That's a swing and a miss, big
and,
time.
And you know, that's a swing and a miss. You find out what kind of guy you're getting. Anthony Collins, another bad example. That guy was a horrible love.
There are people out there that can't stand the fact that I don't like Love. I have never seen a supposedly a good NFL coach, and he brought a team to a Super Bowl. I can't say he's pathetic, but I've never seen an NFL coach that had success have such terrible personnel vision in my life. That guy, I wouldn't trust that guy to build a high school team.
Not to mention running off Darrell Revis.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I mean, a drunk in a bar was better than him. How many times have the Bucs gotten rid of good or great players, Revis being great? I would say Donald Penn at that time was great. Well, great's a little strong, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about. How many good or great players have the Bucs gotten rid of and replaced them with slop? They got rid of Revis for Altron Werner. They got rid of Donald Penn for that nutcase, Anthony Collins. I mean, on down the line, got rid of Tlaib for who? I can't remember who. Time after time after time, how can you build a team by doing that?
You know who's not a bad player? Bradley McDougal. He's not a bad player. He's playing for a playoff team.
And they got rid of him for who?
He's
a forgettable guy, right?
And I thought they were grooming him, and then they turned on him.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they made a bad move. And now they need safety help.
One guy, he goes after me on Twitter. You're always anti-Love. I said, yeah, for a reason. Because they're still climbing out of the hole he dug for this team. And just now, I believe, just now, depending what happens with Jameis or not, the Bucs are climbing out of the hole Love he dug for this organization with countless personnel flops. Countless. And again,
so they're still recovering.
Now, they get rid of Jameis, then they got to replace the quarterback, and I think you take two steps back there. But, you know, that's me.
Now, let's talk about the salary cap situation on your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Some people think it's dire. Dire because they have to re-sign guys and they don't have enough money, especially if you want to give Godwin an extension and take care of this guy, and Levante David wants to be paid. And I'm not sure it's as dire as being portrayed, Lee. They got money to spend, and they got some personnel decisions to make. They got guys they can get rid of, restructure.
Dire to me is very strong word. I would.
I mean, look at Tennessee. I wrote this thing about Jack Conklin the other day. They got to decide about Derrick Henry. They got to decide about Ryan Tannehill.
Yes,
Tannehill. I mean, those are big decisions.
To me, dire is like a desperate. Your desperate mode. Just the opposite, in fact. I don't know how dire. I could never use the dire with the Bucs' current caps. Do they have guys they need to resign? Yes,
now,
they
now
do.
Shaq Barrett wants to be paid, Lee. There's no question about it. You're not getting him for $8 million.
I've said this time and again. I would sign Jameis and I would franchise Shaq. Jameis is more of a written book than Shaq is.
And you'd also bring back JPP.
Oh, of course. And if you don't, you go try to get this Yannick guy. Now, Dave Caldwell.
You've been after that guy for 4 years over there at the camp.
For good reason.
You can't pronounce his name, but you want him.
I don't care about his name. I care about his production. And he produces. Long before the draft, when Yannick came out. Long before the draft.
You get texts from One Buck Palace, and I get texts from Javier in Panama. See, where is the justice in this world over here at the camp?
Well, I'll never forget the text I got where this person was glowing about Yannick. And this was he was still playing college football. He was still at Maryland at the time. So he was definitely on the Bucs' radar. And they thought they had something in Noah Spence. And they couldn't. And when they traded up to get Arturo Aguayo, speaking of bad player personal decision, that was not on Lovey. Well, the Bucs traded up in the draft to get Aguayo. And because of that, they didn't have the ammo to go get Yannick. And Noah Spence turned out to be a total flop. I don't even know if he's under contract with anybody right now.
Are you going to be despondent if they don't bring Sue back? Is that going to be crushing for you?
I'll be bummed out. Here's the thing. You know, you invoked the word dire. I don't think it's dire in any way, shape, or form. But if the Bucs were smart. Now, Sue, I've heard people whine. Sue doesn't get any more sacks. He's over the hill. They're going to ask him to get sacks. So,
He did his job.
Yes. If I was the Bucs, not only would I re-sign Sue, I would draft his replacement. Some people talk about this Kinlaw. That's a Sue clone. Some people have talked about this Derrick Brown at Auburn very well could slide down.
They got to get a little younger on the D-line. They got Vea, but other than that, you know.
Well, this goes back to why I've been screaming about for years. Would you friggin' draft an edge rusher? Blankety blank, damn it. You know, that's
what. Now you're talking about replacements for Seward, interior defensive line.
Well, that's what they use him for.
Yeah.
So I would draft this Kinlaw or Derek Brown. Now, Sean Sullivan, I guess you'd call him our resident draft expert.
He's our draft man.
General manager of Bill Curry Ford, the first family of Ford in Tampa, just north of the stadium on Dale Bramby Highway.
That's right.
You want to see him get angry. You mentioned Derek Brown. He just hits the ceiling. There's no blankety-blank way they're going to draft him. There's, you know, he finds it a personal insult, as if you kicked him in the groin, to suggest the Bucs will draft Derek Brown.
Why? He thinks that would be a terrible pick?
He thinks he's going to go like first two or three.
Oh, okay.
He said there's absolutely no way the guy slides. Absolutely no way.
Now, let's talk about this right tackle situation. People say, you bring back DeMar Dotson for one more. No, you don't.
No?
And not as a starting right tackle. No. No,
you think
he is not a good run blocker. Even Arians will tell you that. He's not particularly good at run blocking, and they got a terrible run game. So all of a sudden, DeMar Dotson in his 12th NFL season is going to be a road grader? No. Now, I brought up Jack Conklin's name for one reason and one reason only. He's a hell of a player, and he's 25. You don't find that in free agency very often. The problem is you're not getting him for $5 million. He wants 12. Well, you can't pay everybody, and I understand that. And they're already paying the center and the two left sides of the line big money. Well, Lee, may I suggest, they're not getting their money's worth up front. May I suggest?
You can suggest, but I'm not
blocking. I think the pass blocking has been adequate. No better. For a while there, Winston was the most sacked quarterback in the NFL last year for the first half of the year. He was getting buried. It got better as the season went on. But Lee, there's no holes for the running game. You can't pin this all on little Ronald Jones. There's no holes.
I will.
There's no holes and there's no commitment. There's no commitment because there's no holes.
There's none.
I want road graders nasty up there.
Then you don't want Bruce Arians.
I want a balanced offense. Balance.
That's the worst thing you can have.
What do you think Derek Brooks says every week to me? Run the football.
With what?
Run the football.
With what?
He looks at the 49ers. Run the football.
Do the Bucs have running?
He looks at the Titans. Run the football.
Are the Bucs built to run the football?
Why don't you build them to have a balanced offense? Is there nothing wrong with
it? Yeah. Mike Leach said that's the worst thing you could do. You go with what talent you have. If you're built to run, you're built to pass, and you got a pass, and you got the talent, and the Bucs definitely have the talent, then that's dumb not to go that way.
Well, as a result, he's throwing 45 times a game, which is 10 times too many. As attested by his 30 picks. What you said, only six of them are his fault.
I don't know how many are his fault. You want Bruce Arians to go to Lou Tepper. We're going to run the ball. With what?
Well, wait a minute. You mean it's got to be all one way or all the other way?
No, but the guy...
You ever heard of balance?
Are you watching the Bucs? Do you see anything on the Bucs offense that suggests they can go full-blown Earl Campbell? Come on.
Again, you're saying I want them to run 40 times. I run 30 times and throw 35
with
times.
What?
I'm showing you how they can improve.
Demonstrate what players are out there to build a running offense. Now, do I want them to run the ball? Yeah. But also, no, if you don't have the horses, you cannot do that.
Get a 25-year-old right tackle and pick up a decent running back in free agency. They're always out there.
In theory, but you know Bruce Arians has already said, I don't value running, in so many words, I don't value running backs.
I didn't say to draft one in the first round.
Okay.
You know, but there's always a Latavius Murray type in free agency.
Oh, I agree, and what do the Bucs do? They sit on the toilet and read the newspaper. Yeah.
They pass.
There's two things the Bucs ignore constantly, running attack and drafting an edge rusher.
Lee, I'm going to make this point, and even you will be hard-pressed to argue it. You know when you can get away with a lousy running tack? If you got Pat Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers.
I was going to say Dan Marino.
And by the way, Green Bay's running back, that guy's good. He scored 19 touchdowns this year, Aaron Jones. Okay, the Chiefs don't have a good running game. They got Mahomes.
Yeah.
You're not going to put Winston and Mahomes in the same
team. Did I say that?
I understand.
Come on. I just said they're not built to run. That's all I've said.
Well, shame on them. Shame on them.
Yeah, well, that's Bruce Arians. I mean, that could be corrected by getting rid of Arians. Then you're talking 2-3 years yet, you know?
They haven't run well for 4 years.
Who's been screaming about a running tack more than me? But I also know you can't do a Lou Tepper. Like, we're going to run the ball. What do you have with what?
I'm going to weigh in on Brett Perriman.
I'm
going to say Perriman did a hell of a job the last 6 weeks, and I'm going to follow that up by saying if he wants to make some money, he's going to have to move on because as a third receiver, the Bucs are going to pass, and I think they're going to expect O.J. Howard, and I know what you're going to say about Arians and tight ends. You got O.J. Howard. You better use him.
I know.
You better use him.
You're not appreciative of the choir, Ira, but I also live in reality, That's not going to happen. Arians is not going to change his offense. He's 67 years old. He's only got a couple years
left. That's a black mark on Arians. You got O.J. Howard and you don't want to use him? That's a black mark.
I'm not saying. Once again, Ira, when did I say they shouldn't use him? Just the opposite. I've never said that.
Arians didn't have any good tight ends in Arizona. No wonder he didn't use him. He didn't have O.J. Howard.
If I want to live in a world of surreality, I would say, yeah, we're going to run the ball 30 times, even though you got slop for running backs. And they're going to run the ball 30 times, even though they're not built up front to run the ball. But they're going to run. That's surreality. That's not reality.
Why aren't they built up front to run the ball?
Well, you got to ask Arians.
They're paying all these guys.
Hold on. Time out. You suggested that Bucks aren't getting their money's worth. I read over the week a guy who all his job is for The Athletic and a couple other publications is study the offensive lines of NFL teams. Break down offensive lines, game tape, you name it. He said he would be hard-pressed to find a better center this past year than Ryan Jensen.
I thought Jensen was their best offensive lineman. I agree with that.
And I would suggest that Donovan Smith had his best year as a pro. Now, I'm not saying he was dominant. Remember what the biggest knock on him used to be? And it was a fair knock.
He doesn't finish.
Yes. You didn't hear that this year. So, by that standard, I think he had his best year. I'm not saying he was worth his contract.
Can you give me a damn running game, DeKemper? I don't care what
I've been screaming that too.
The way you want to slice it.
You know, I'm the type of person, you know, God forbid, I don't think there's an 11th commandment that forbids running backs from dodging tacklers. You go out and get a damn running back. Would you please? Please? Please?
They just drafted one in the second round.
And how's he done?
Better than he did as
a rookie. Not good. His career year would be next, let's say hypothetically, next year. You know, there was a guy that wrote on Bleacher Report that he expects Ronald Jones to be the breakout star. If he has
2020?
Yeah. Okay. If he has 900 offensive yards, that's running and receiving.
That's nothing.
That would be a career year for him. And that would be a career year for him. Again, I don't think there was an 11th commandment out there that suggests you can't find a running back, a good running back, who can dodge tackles. You know, but the offensive lines are different. Get somebody that can dodge a tackler if that's the case. Did Walter Payton have five All-Pros in front of him? Did Barry Sanders? I can only think of one guy that blocked for Walter Payton when the Bears were lousy and he was gaining thousands of yards. Dan Jiggins. Give me a break.
Now, Lee, I'm going to throw this out at you, too. Here's a part of the problem. It might be a big part of the problem. I think Arians might think it's a big part of the problem. Some of the things he says suggest it. They don't have a tight end who can block. O.J. Howard didn't do a good job in break camp.
Yeah, they do. What's his face? The Canadian Wonder can block.
He can't catch.
He can't catch, but he can block.
O.J. Howard's supposed to be a better than decent blocker. And that's a big part. Look at Kittle. Kittle's a big part of the 49er running game. Besides being a fantastic pass catcher, he's a ferocious
blocker.
He's
a monster, isn't he?
And their receivers block well. Now, I don't have any problem with Godwin. Godwin's a good blocker.
Oh.
But it takes a village, you know, to get this damn running game going. And tight end's part of the problem, Lee.
Talk about Godwin.
I put him on my all-pro team. And that means Michael Thomas and Chris Godwin. Wow. I'm talking about a first-team all-pro. Now, he didn't make it, mm-hmm. but he made it for me, even though he missed the last two games. He had a fantastic season, Lee. Nobody wants to tackle the guy. His yards after catch are tremendous. Considerably better than Evans. That's his edge on Evans. Now, Evans does some things better than Godwin.
Mm-hmm.
But his hands are good. He doesn't drop a lot of balls. He's physical as hell. And I love everything about him. And I love his attitude,
yeah.
too. And you've been around. If you're up against the salary cap or, you know, you're pressed a little, you don't have to address Godwin right now. You'd like to in a perfect world. It's not a perfect world. And
trust
you don't
me.
Want to let him go, obviously.
Oh, no. I love Godwin. But I think that's a bridge that doesn't need to be crossed quite yet. Would it be nice for him to rework his contract? Sure. But it'd be nicer to have Sue. I mean, you already got Godwin in contract. Now, if he holds out, that's a different story. But again, I with Godwin's contract, I think that's a bridge that doesn't need to cross quite yet. Now, with Godwin, we kvetch that Arians poo-poos the running game, and he poo-poos to an extent. He sure was dead on about Godwin. You know, we were all this time a year ago, we're all worried about can they keep Adam Humphries, and Arians wanted to keep Godwin at slot over Humphries. Because of his speed. And I think we got to give props to Arians. He really hit the nail on the head by deciding, no, let's let Humphries walk. Godwin, I think, can get the job.
He's an example, Lee, of we've been praising the Bucks on this regard.
In the past, we buried them for not being able to develop young players. Mm-hmm. Godwin's an example. He gets better every year. There's other examples. Ronald mm-hmm. Jones got better. He's not where the Bucs need him to be. Mm-hmm. But he got better. Kappa mm-hmm. got better. Give them their props.
You know, we got to give credit to, I think, for the first time in a long time, we got to give props to the whole coaching staff for helping.
Vea got better.
Vea got better. I think part of that was health. Sean Murphy Bunning got better. All these young guys got better, and I think that's a credit to the coaching staff. We're starting to see signs of development that we haven't seen before. That's hopeful. It gives fans hope.
If they can get Justin Evans on the field, Lee, they might have the coaching to coach him up and maximize his talent. He's not without talent.
You know, I brought up the word hope, and I got to talk about this. I don't think we've ever talked about this before, and this goes back to the running game. You know, I'm screaming, get a running back, get a good running back, get a good running back. And I'm scared the Bucs are going to sit back and just be pleased with themselves, with Ronald Jones, with Obi-Wan Kenobi, with Peyton Barber, who was terrible last year. I'm scared they're going to be content with that because they'll say, well, we hope Ronald Jones gets better. One of my favorite Bobby Knight quotes is, the worst word in the English language is hope. He goes, I remember when I was a young coach and people would say, oh, it's going to be okay. Well, how the hell do you know it's going to be okay? And he emphasized hope is a four-letter word. It's a dirty word.
So is potential.
Hope.
So is potential.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because that means that you haven't done it yet.
Yeah. What do you think about that? I think the Bucs should be aggressive and going out and not just drafting a running back, but signing a running back. I want them to get Hunt. I know Hunt has his issues off the field, but he's not in jail. He's eligible to play, and I think his price is going down.
He's no choir boy.
No choir boy, but you know what? Neither was a guy's name. If you go to the Raymond James Stadium, there's a guy's name up on the ring who was no choir boy, and he's got a gold jacket. And I don't think any Bucs fan was screaming to get rid of him when he was playing.
I can't argue with your basic point. The stable of running backs, it's subpar. It's subpar. And I think people that won Buck that have clout and power, they have to realize that. The status quo is not good enough in that regard. It's just not.
Well, about the running game, you know, we saw Arians twice, at least twice, but twice it came back to bite him. He went turtle, thinking we'll just run the clock out. We got a big lead. We'll just go with the running game, and it wasn't good enough.
If you had a running game. They got no running.
Thank you.
Game.
Yeah. Thank you.
There were two games like that. The
Giants and Houston, maybe?
Well, the Giants, definitely. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, 18-point lead at the half. You're home. You can't hold it, and you can't convert third downs. And all of a sudden, Daniel Brown looks like,
Daniel Jones, but I know.
Here's one point we never
Dave
made.
Brown. That's
on this show, Dave Brown. Lee, and I don't think this should go unnoticed either. This rookie kicker they had last year, he's got no business going at the training camp thinking he's got this job all by himself.
Absolutely agree. Totally agree.
That's a big point, and I think the Bucs got to stay on that. Bring somebody in that's a legitimate competitor and let them duke it out.
Is it mind-blowing, this curse of kickers this franchise has come to?
The guy lost two games, Lee. Two.
I mean, but I'm talking about the curse. It's been gone for...
Oh, yeah, it's absurd. Finally, Matt Bryant's out of football. They don't have to look at him. But, he had 10 great years after he left.
That's why...
There's another guy who left the Bucs.
Yeah, and that was the dumb move of Dominic. You're going to like where I go with this. You know, the Bucs had Matt Bryant. Before that, they had Martin Grammatica. And before, who's the basketball player that blew his Achilles out? And he was a pretty good kicker. Right? His name escapes me.
Not Connor Barth?
Yeah, it's Connor Barth. Yeah, exactly.
He wasn't bad.
Now, all of a sudden, kickers, specifically Bucs kickers, can't kick in the south end zone because of the wind. Do we have climate change that bad, Ira, that all of a sudden, now the wind at Raymond James Stadium is screwing up with Bucs kickers?
All around this league, teams find kickers out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
All around the league. The Bucs draft guys and they don't make it. I mean, never mind picking guys up. It's not rocket science, Lee. Go find somebody. I mean, other teams do it all the time.
I just find it interesting that, you know, all of a sudden, since Aguayo was here, all of a sudden the south end zone's the worst place to kick in the NFL.
That's the craziest excuse I've
ever heard. Well, I did hear Dirk Cutter.
Didn't you say other teams come in? Even teams? Don't teams come in?
Yeah, I did a story. Don't Dome teams, now that's outrageous. Dome teams.
Where weather's no factor.
Zero factor. Perfect conditions. Dome teams come into Raymond James Stadium and kick better than Bucks kickers. And they're not used to kicking outside. That's just outrageous. So, and I remember Dirk Cutter saying this. To his credit, he didn't use an excuse. He said, oh, by the way. He said, yeah, there's a study out there that claims Raymond James Stadium is one of the top five worst stadiums to kick in because of the wind.
I've heard that about Heinz Field. I never heard it about Raymond James.
Yards
and that I understand.
Yeah, because the river's right there. Yeah.
You know, Lee, when you're sojourn in Miami, do you...
Sojourn.
Are you going to hang around Radio Row at all and see if any Bucks show up?
Yes.
And do you expect any Bucks? You think Winston will be around?
Steve Isbitz, the conspirator at JoeBucksFan.com, he believes Jameis will be there. You know, connecting the dots. And you figure Jameis probably is going to... You know, it's promotional tour.
He could be promoting a charity or something. He could be.
And oh, by the way, look at the yards I threw for. Look at the touchdowns I threw for. How can you call me a bad quarterback? I agree.
If he's there, I know you're going to hone in on him like.
I'll be on top of him and see what I can get from him. I don't know if he'll talk to me. I don't know if you're aware of this. And I know you've been to Radio Row many times. But what I'm about to say is, I don't know if you're aware of, Radio Row is fantastic for radio people. It's the pits for reporters. Because what happens is these guys show up, they're with their handlers, and they have an itinerary. Oh, you're going to be on this radio show. 15 minutes later, you're going to be there.
That's right.
And we are the scum of the earth for these guys. We come
up. Got no time for you.
For a variety of reasons. One, the radio audience, they're looking for a reach. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how many times I've been in Radio Row. And we're like leeches. The PR people look at us like, ooh, get away from me. And I'll never forget, Levante David was the only time I ever saw him on Radio Row. Because he was so hacked off he wasn't going to the Pro Bowl, he sucked it up and decided to go to Radio Row to try to get his name out there. And oddly enough, it worked. The next year he was in the Pro Bowl, the only time it worked. And anyway, he was there, and I went up to go to talk to him, and the PR person was going to shut me down. And thankfully, Alan Barrett, who then was part of Buck's media relations department, he was there. And he saw me getting shut down. He went to the PR person. He said, no, this guy's a credentialed member of Buck's media. Levante, give him some time.
And now he's with the Vipers.
Now he runs Vipers Media Relations.
My favorite Lee memories of Radio Row are the times I sat down with the Big Dog.
And oh, those are great.
A lot of people used to talk about it because we always used to talk Hall of Fame since 05. And he would sit there with his producer. And you know what I loved about it? Usually you get one segment with Dumick. He'd keep me on for 45 minutes to an hour.
That was great.
You know, through commercial breaks. And, of course, Steve knew his football. And, you know, he'd bring certain guys up in the room, like, why isn't this guy in? I used to love my time with Dumick. He was knowledgeable. He was funny. And he loved the stories. He loved the stories about what went on in that room. And, of course, we used to talk about Sapp and Brooks and Lynch and Barber and Simeon. And Allstott, and he was right in the middle of things, and that's when I really miss him, is showing up on Radio Row when he's not there.
Maybe one of the best one-liners I ever heard on Dumick's show was courtesy of you, Sage. And it was on one of those annual Hall of Fame interviews at whatever Super Bowl you were at. And I remember you were telling Dumick, you know, Steve, sometimes you just know a Hall of Famer. And this shows you how awesome you are with your quick one-liners. You
the
see
eye
a
test,
guy, you
test.
Know he's Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Like her. You see her? There's no question. She's a Hall of Famer.
You might have fell off your chair when you heard that.
I think I almost had a wreck. Some buxom lass just happened to be walking by. Like her, Steve. You see her? There's no question she's a Hall of Famer.
And Lee, have fun in Miami Beach.